Thanks very much. I feel excited to be here. I'm always excited to talk about this project that we're working on, the Accessible Catalog. Can you all hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. And I, since Julie was talking about one of her previous speaking engagements, I was reminded of one that I did this summer, where I had a chance to be on a panel at ALA with about the future of catalogs and cataloging, and which was moderated by Bob Waldman from Columbia, who many of you know. Well, he started out with this shtick about using the lyrics of a Buffalo Springfield song, if something happened in here, it's what it is, and exactly. Anyway, he had the audience just rolling on the floor. He was followed by Roy Tennant from OCLC and Tim Spaulding from Library Thing, and they got into this thing about comparing Roy to Sylvester Stallone and Rambo. Anyway, these three guys were up there, and then I had followed them. And I didn't have a single joke in my entire presentation, so I felt like, oh my God, all right, here my role is sort of straight woman. So I warn you that today, I don't have any jokes today. Anyway, you know, I think my project is pretty exciting in itself, but I thought, well, how can I liven this up a little bit? So what I thought I would do today is start out by presenting a really bleak picture of the sort of situation that libraries are in right now. Sort of look at what we're trying to do short term, and then start talking about my project and all the wonderful things that we'll deliver to libraries, and it'll be sort of a dramatic sort of effect going from sort of this very kind of depressing sort of, oh my God, you know, how do we get ourselves into this position, and move into something a little bit more hopeful, I think, for the future. So that's what I'm going to attempt to do today. So my agenda then for today will be to, I'm going to start out with this sort of, you know, where we are right now that we probably don't really want to be, current challenges that libraries face. I'm going to look at what libraries are looking to do next in the area of resource discovery and catalogs, and sort of the obvious next steps that libraries are taking, and then I want to look at what comes after that. I'm not necessarily looking at trends per se, but looking at whether what we're doing next as our next steps are really going to get us where we want to go. And then I'm going to talk about my project, which the Extensible Catalog, which I often refer to as XC, and what XC will offer to libraries. How XC will work. XC is very different from the kind of software applications that we're used to. So I'm going to show you some architecture diagrams of how the system will work with the systems that libraries already use, and then end up with what XC can offer to libraries. So that's sort of the big, I hope, hopeful finale. So here's the sort of bleak beginning. I'm going to offer some trends here that have not been researched, and I hope, you know, I've chosen them based on our experience at developing the software and developing, you know, looking at what was needed in the area of resource discovery for libraries. I hope you'll bear with me as I don't cite any sources for these. I think these are pretty well accepted. Most information seekers search the web first. Now, I know some people do come to libraries and do their research there, but if you talk about it, just in general, most people use the web. Library resources are difficult to find on the web. That's a problem. That's a big problem, just in itself. If we move on to my area, which is library metadata is not well suited for use in the open web. Now, when I mean open web, I mean, yes, we have it working in our ILSs and in our OPACs and in our various databases, but when you talk about users searching the open web and not coming to those specific places, our library metadata doesn't work very well, and I'll talk a bit more about that later. And then for this is sort of another kind of obvious. Libraries face bigger financial challenges and funding reductions, especially these days. So what I think these challenges really fall into a couple different areas. The first one is the technological challenges that we face. When you look at what we're presenting to our users, we're mostly presenting an OPAC, which has a very inflexible, outdated interface that we're showing to our users. We may want to change those interfaces, give them something much more up to date, but there's a real limit to what we can do there. And one of the problems, other than that we're just showing them out-of-date stuff, is that there's a real kind of sense of hopelessness that comes with that, I think. A lot of our project is involved doing user research. How do our users do our work, do their work, and what can we present better to them? But if all you've got is an ILS and you can't change it, well, it's sort of like, well, why bother, you know, looking at what our users do if we can't really do anything anyway? So there's sort of a bigger problem than just the interface there. Our content is in silos. We all know this. We have our OPAC. We have a library website. We have all these different databases. We may have a WorldCat local or a digital repository. Users have to know where to go. They have to know what to look at. This is all very difficult for our users to understand, and we know that. We spend a lot of our time trying to help them through that process. And then finally, I believe that our library metadata in MARC is really holding us back. MARC has worked great for us for longer than probably anybody would have expected. But now we really need to look at moving forward and what we can do better with it. So we also have some financial challenges. First of all, most libraries are locked into some very long-term ongoing support contracts with our ILS vendors, and you know, it's a big chunk of money that we're putting out there every year. It really limits what we can do with our budgets. So as a result, we may have a lack of resources to devote to spending on new software or to software development. And now whatever restrictions we had in the past, now we're facing reductions with the current budget problem. So this is pretty bleak, I think. So, unfortunately, I think that's where we are. So what are libraries trying to do right now to get out of it? And I think there's some obvious next steps that libraries are taking, and they're good next steps, but there's some limits to them. So what are libraries doing? Well, what I see is that most libraries are keeping their current ILS for now, although they may kind of feel trapped by that. I'm going to come back and talk about some of these more in a minute. I see libraries purchasing a lot of new front ends to their system, like Aqua Browser or Deca or Primo, something new that's better that they can put up on top of what they have now. Now, I see a lot of libraries implementing WorldCat Local, and I like to call this outsourcing of our resource access in a way, because what you're really doing is saying, you know, I think WorldCat Local is a great product, but what a library is basically doing is saying, okay, OCLC, you do it for us. We can't handle this. You know, use our data in WorldCat, and you do it for us. So there's a lot of interest in that, where, you know, there is an option there for libraries, and they're taking it. I see some interest in open source alternatives, which is great, because I'm working on an open source project. You see there are a couple of open source ILSs out there that I'll be mentioning in a minute. You see libraries looking at alternative front ends that are open source, such as BuFind, which is from Villanova University. There's another project that's starting called the OLE project, O-L-E, that is looking for open source ILS, basically, focusing on the back end. So there's a lot of sort of interest in this that's growing. And then finally, what's on the horizon is RDA, which is Resource Description and Access, which is a new cataloging standard. And it's been on the horizon for a long time, but we're finally getting to the point where it's going to be pretty soon. So libraries really don't know what to expect from RDA. So there's sort of all these things that libraries are looking at and talking about. So let's look at these a little bit more. And look about whether some of these things that libraries are doing are really going to get us out of the dilemma that we're in right now. So for a library keeping its current ILS, if you're keeping your current ILS, that means you're keeping all your financial obligations to support that ILS. And what you've got is legacy technology. So that's not a great situation in itself right there. If you're purchasing a new commercial front end, then you have yet another financial obligation to pay for that software. And that's likely to be in a license so that you're paying for that year after year after year. So you just leave it, you know. So it's making the financial commitment even higher for these sorts of things. So the WorldCat Local, the outsourcing your web presence, that may get you a better front end. But the problem is that it doesn't really solve that problem of being able to address your own local user needs. There's some customization that's possible with that, but not a whole lot. So again, it doesn't really set up an environment where libraries are going to think, yeah, what do our users need? How can we really deliver that? And it's like, well, we still can't do very much with it, but so there it is. With open source, I think libraries are concerned about whether they can support it, whether they're, you know, libraries are used to buying a support contract, and whether they can get along without those, whether they have the expertise in-house to take care of that. There's some concern there. And finally, with RDA, the new cataloging standard, we don't know whether systems will actually be able to implement it. We catalogers, I know, are concerned about whether they'll even be able to understand it. So there's some concern there. So anyway, when you look at these things and look at what libraries are doing, I think they're all obvious things that libraries need to do, and you know, sort of the low-hanging fruit. But are they really going to get us out of that sort of bleak situation? I'm not sure that they are. So I would like to look at what's after these sort of obvious next steps, sort of looking a little bit farther into the future. I think that's what's really needed to get us out of this sort of dilemma that we're in, where we don't have the technology, we don't have the money to buy it, and it's sort of a self-perpetuating situation. So it's difficult, I think, to look longer term in the future, because you pick something that you want to do that, you know, you forecast what's happening as a future trend, well, you might be wrong. But I think it's essential that we do that. And we've been very fortunate with the project that we're working on that's funded by the Mellon Foundation, that they have encouraged us to do that, sort of not to do the obvious next step, but to look beyond that. What are libraries going to need after the next steps? So we're in a good situation to do that, although it's a little bit scary at times. So what's after this next step? Well, a couple things that we see as being next. One is web solutions that do two things. One, that enable our users to find resources, which of course is what we want, but also that empower libraries to serve those users, so that if users need something in particular, we can make the technology work the way we want it to. We want to be able to give libraries more of a choice about their ILS, so that the library has to stay with the current ILS, and it's a huge job. Huge to migrate to a new ILS. If you have to stay with what you've got, we want to make that a more acceptable solution. And also, if a library decides to move forward, we want to be able to work with that as well. So more choice there. We want to make library metadata really work on the web, and that's a huge task. But we think we have some ways with the Extensible Catalog Project to move that forward. And again, we want to look at some alternatives to long-term financial obligations. So since we're working with open source software, that's something that we can offer here. So this is the context, what we want to be able to achieve, that I want to use as sort of the backdrop for talking about the Extensible Catalog Project, which is my project that I've been working on. So what is the Extensible Catalog? First of all, it's a set of open source tools that we are developing. It will be available to libraries at no cost. The goal of the tools is to facilitate resource discovery, but also metadata management. So there's a kind of a twofold thing going on here. It's not, XC is not just another front end, but also we have a lot of stuff in the background, a lot of infrastructure for managing metadata that goes with the project. We're funded by the Andrew Mellon Foundation, and we also have funding from some of our partner institutions, and I'll show you who those are. We'll be releasing the software next summer. So we're working very hard right now to get it all ready to go. And after we release the software, we will be setting up a governance structure that will, it will be a not-for-profit entity of some type that will support the software community once the software is released. It will enable developers, since this is open source, to contribute to the software code and really foster the adoption of the software by other institutions. So that's that. So there will be some ongoing governance agency that works with the software. And we do have a website, and if I take a look at it, I will put that URL up again on my last slide, so you don't need to frantically copy it down. It's just basically extensiblecatalog.org, or if you just Google extensible catalog, you can find it. So what will XC provide as far as software functionality? XC will be compatible with an iOS. XC is not an iOS. You don't have to get rid of your current iOS to use XC. The way we're, one of the primary building blocks, I guess you could say, protocols that we're using to build XC is called the OAI PMH protocol. That's the Open Archives Initiative protocol for metadata harvesting. You don't need to remember all of that. But it's a protocol for how data moves from one place to another. And since we're building XC with a lot of different components that talk to each other, we need a standard way for the data to move from one place to another. And it also makes XC compatible with anything else, any other systems that use OAI PMH, which a lot of digital repositories do, like DSpace and ContentDM are OAI PMH compatible.
Could you say that again, the harvesting part?
It's called the Open Archives Initiative Protocol for Metadata Harvesting. That's what the PMH stands for. Okay, so XC will offer out-of-the-box user interface functionality. So you will be able to just take, download XC, and you will have a front end. Actually, you have a couple of different front ends to choose from. Yes? Okay. Some problems.
Do you want me to get
there? There we go.
I think we're okay.
XC will also provide tool sets for customization, web development, and metadata enrichment. So again, it's not a big monolithic system. It's going to have different subsets, tool sets that will be combined, and you can use them together or you can use them separately. XC is also going to provide an infrastructure for moving beyond the MARC format for metadata. And the good part about this is that it's going to allow libraries some experience of working with their metadata that used to be MARC metadata in another environment, and it will provide a lot more freedom to move forward than what we have right now. So if you take all the XC components and put them together, we call it the XC network of services, and I'll be showing you how they all work together in a minute. So here we are. This is the project team that's based in Rochester. We have four principal investigators, one of whom is an anthropologist who's doing a lot of user research, project manager, seven developers. Actually, four of the developers are based in Rochester. One is in North Carolina, one is in Pennsylvania, and one is in Hungary. So we're all over the place. We have a web developer, and then we have various members of the library staff, librarians who work with us on various aspects of the system. So that's some of who we are. We also are our partners. We have various partner institutions. I don't know if you can read the names of the institutions there. Our partners are working in two different areas. I'll read them all. We have user research partners, and our user research partners are Cornell, Ohio State, Yale, and the University of Rochester. Each one of those four schools has a team of librarians working on user research, and they've been working very hard over the past year. We're now in the process of compiling and sifting through all of the results of that user research, and we're going to feed that into the development of the software itself. And there should be some information in the next couple of months that's posted as a result of that user research. We also have technology development partners who are working on various aspects of the system. One of the big things that our technology partners are doing is to make XC work with a particular ILS. So we have three commercial ILSs that XC will work with. We have Notre Dame and SUNY Buffalo are both working with the Olive system to make XC work with Olive. We have the Rochester Institute of Technology and Oregon State University working with III, and then University of Rochester and the Carly Consortium in Illinois are both working with Voyager. We don't have a CERCE partner yet. We are interested in having one. I've got some feelers out there, but if you're at a CERCE institution and have some development support, we'd love to hear from you. We're also, in addition to making XC work with the commercial ILSs, we also are working with some other partners to make XC work with some open source applications. So the Georgia Pines Consortium, of course, has their Evergreen open source ILS. We're working with them. And also with LibLime, which is the company that supports the co-op open source ILS. And then finally, we're working with Casey Besson, who is at Plymouth State University, and he has designed his own front-end library resource discovery tool called Scriblio on top of a content management system, and he's agreed to make XC work behind the scenes for his software as well. So we're really happy to have all these great folks working with us. Now, this is a list of the software toolkits that we're building, just to sort of see what they all are. I'm going to talk about these more in detail. But just to reinforce, it's not one big monolithic system. You can take one part of it and use it. You could take another part and use it. You can make a couple parts work together, or you could use the whole thing. So just a couple things I wanted to mention. One of those components is called the Metadata Services Toolkit. And this is really it's sort of the thing that I think is the most exciting about the project. Of course, I come out of the metadata world. The basic premise of the Metadata Services Toolkit is that we're pulling in MARC metadata into the system. And if we're going to use it, we have to do stuff to it. There's a lot of stuff that's coded in MARC. There's a lot of consistencies. We're going to have to do stuff to it, manipulate it, enrich it in order to be able to use it in another environment. And the Metadata Services Toolkit is a platform for doing that. So it's a general architecture for processing and redistributing metadata. And you'll see in a minute how it fits with the other things in the system. The toolkit uses pluggable services to clean up and enrich metadata. You'll see this architecture more in a minute. But it's basically a platform, and then you can write a service that will do a particular thing, like take MARC metadata and turn all the language codes into language terms so that you can actually read that it's English and not ENG. Or so that we have one type of service that does that. We have another service that transforms metadata from one schema to another. We have ferberization service, where we're actually taking MARC metadata and parsing it into a ferberized structure that has the various levels there. And I'm not going to go into what ferber is. That's a different talk, so I'll just sort of let that go. We're going to have an authority matching service, which will enable you to take bibliographic records and match them against an authority file and add the identifiers to the records. So the structure is such that a library can take and add more services or take the services that are already there and tweak them for their own needs. If you've got, you know, your control numbers in your system are all messed up and you need to fix them, this would be a way that you could do it. So I find it really exciting. The MST, which is what the Metadata Services Toolkit has, an administrative interface that allows you to schedule harvests of metadata, orchestrate the service, and debug problems. I should emphasize that the way this thing works is it works on batches of records. So this is not the same as like a cataloging module, where a cataloging module, somebody comes and either creates a new record or goes in and finds a record and then fixes it up or enriches it or updates it in some way. The whole thing about this is that it works on batches of records. And this is a capability that an ILS doesn't have, so it's something sort of totally new. And then the Metadata Services Toolkit makes the improved metadata available for other applications to harvest it, again, using that protocol, the OAI-PMH protocol. One other thing I want to stress about XC is that it's really important to us to build something that will empower libraries to do their own local development. The MST does that because you can build more services used within that component. So it gives libraries lots of control there. But we also have other ways to do that within the system. We're actually pulling library content into a web development framework. I'll show you this in a minute, that one of our user interfaces is built on a content management system called Drupal, which is something that libraries can download for free and build a whole library website on top of it. And Drupal has a huge community of users, and they all build modules, they share modules, and so it's a very easy way to bring in all of this content and all of the, you know, bring library content into this environment where it really is very easy to develop services on top of it. So this is something that we think is really exciting. And these modules that are available then can be added to user interface functionality. Such as blogging, RSS feeds, all of these things are pretty easy to bring into that environment using those modules. So, how does XC work? I'm going to show you some actual diagrams now of how the system works. And you'll see how, you know, how the systems that we already use are there and how XC works with it. And again, since XC doesn't really have a parallel, it's not like front end, it's not like an ILS, it's sort of a, you know, a combination of a bunch of different things. I think it's important to show you the diagrams, so I hope you'll bear with me. They're kind of cool pictures. I didn't make them, but I think they're pretty cool. All right, so we start with the gray boxes are the applications that libraries are already using. If you could, can you read what those say on them?
No.
You want me to read them to you? Okay. So over on the left-hand side, we have our ILS. We may have another repository that the library has of digital content, or we might have, we've got actually two different repositories listed here. If you have DSpace or ContentDM or another institutional repository, it may already have OAI PMH capability within it. So if that's represented down here in the box at the bottom, this one. And then you may already have repositories that don't have that capability too. So this is where your metadata already is, the places where your users are going to have to try to search to find that stuff. Down here at the bottom are the front ends that you may already have in your metadata. Your library website, you may also have a learning management system in your library, such as Blackboard, that this is where students go to get all their course reserves. So they're going to that, and they're not even going to the library website. So these are the front ends here. Now I'm going to have a bunch of nice blue and green boxes fly in, and these all represent the software that we're building. What we need to do in order to move the metadata around is to make our current repositories OAI compliant so that we can make the metadata available to move it around in the system. So we've designed a component called the OAI Toolkit that does that. And that works with an ILS, or it will work with another repository that needs it. Now, if an ILS actually built that into the system, we wouldn't need to use our software. You could just connect right to the ILS, but most of our ILSs don't do that. Actually, the two open source ILSs that we're working with, they are talking about building that capability right into the system itself. So that's the first component. We're pretty much done with that one, and our partners are testing it right now. So here we have the metadata coming out of this using the OAI PMH protocol. So what you would do, basically, is you would take the OAI toolkit, you would pull all of the data, a copy of all the data out of your ILS, and make it available for harvesting. And the OAI toolkit will handle updates and deletes, and make, you know, so you could do this on a regular basis. It's not just a one-time pull of data. So now that we have the metadata out of your ILS or out of your repository, the Metadata Services Toolkit starts working on it. And this is where we have all the different pluggable services to get the metadata in shape to show it to users in various web interfaces. So you'll see that there are four web pluggable services. On the right-hand side, one says record cleanup, one says ferberization, then authority control, and then aggregation. Aggregation would be taking metadata from a bunch of different sources and being able to pull it together to tell, you know, where you've got the same resource multiple times. So those are sample services that could be developed, and we are actually developing inside that metadata services toolkit. So then the MST also makes the metadata available via OAI PMH again. Now we need to get the metadata into the interfaces where our users are actually going to be using it. And our alternative for getting the metadata into a library website is the Drupal toolkit. Drupal is that open source content management system that we're using to build it on top of. And that's going to allow sort of an easy kit for making your own library website. And what's really cool about it is that actually your library metadata becomes the same type of content as the website itself, so it gets folded right into the same environment. So we're getting rid of some of that silo kind of effect. We also have another toolkit called the LMS toolkit, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. And then finally, we have what we're calling the Java toolkit, which is basically some software and manuals that will enable Java developers to make XC work with other components as well. Now, you'll see all the arrows, blue arrows, going away from the ILS towards the interfaces here. we also have, narrow going back the other way, because we may be generating content through the website with user-generated tags or reviews. So we want to pull that content, which is metadata, back into the metadata services toolkit and then redistribute it. So we got the arrow going both ways there. Now we get green, a little bit different. We have one final component, which is called the NSIP toolkit. And that communicates to the front ends using a different protocol called NSIP. And what its function is to go back from the website to your ILS to look at current circulation status. Is this item checked out? Can I get it? How can I put a hold on it? It allows that kind of functionality going back the other way. So let me talk about this one just a little bit more. These are the OAI toolkit and the NSIP toolkit are the two things that we're pretty much done with right now and our partners are testing. These are the two things that work with the ILS. So one is pulling the metadata out, and then the other one is querying back to get the real-time status of the, is this resource available? Can I put a hold on it? Can I recall it? And that will facilitate that. I already talked a bit about the metadata services toolkit, which is this part over here. That this is where we can do record cleanup. We can get the data ready, basically, to be shown like in a faceted browsing interface. We may want to do some things to the dates to normalize the dates, or to do a nice format facet with different bits of metadata. What else do I want to say about that? I already talked about that. Right now, we're concentrated on MARC data because that's sort of the hardest, and that's where the biggest challenge is to get this out of our ILS and get it in a way, in a format that can be used. But we will also be doing services for other types of metadata. We'll be doing Dublin Core and bringing Dublin Core into this environment as well. And we would love to see other libraries be able to develop services for other types of metadata too. The other thing about the MST is that you can pull data into it in MARC XML and get it out in MARC XML. So I think there's a lot of this component can be used on its own. So I think there's some capability there that a library might want to just use it to clean up data and pull it right back into its ILS. So there's a lot of potential there, I think. Okay, the Drupal toolkit I already talked about a little bit. Drupal is an open source content management system. It enables you to build a library website using pluggable modules. There's a large community of users, and it's the big thing about it is that it lowers the bar for doing that kind of work. It makes it much easier for a library to tackle that kind of stuff. Now, the LMS toolkit, I didn't really talk about at all. LMS is Learning Management System. So this is a way to get library content into your learning management system. We're working specifically with Blackboard right now. This is another way to get library content to where the users already are. And this is something that we on the XC project see as the future of library catalogs is really not some other silo that we call the library catalog, but taking the data that's in there and getting it out and getting it to where your users are. So getting it into a library website, getting it into the content management system that they already have to use. So that's really what's exciting here. There's also another aspect of this which is kind of exciting. We're developing an interface for the LMS toolkit that will allow a librarian or faculty member to go in and associate specific resources with specific courses. So your chemistry librarian could say, this database here would be great for any 100 level chemistry course. And they can make that association, it will stay in the system, and that actually becomes metadata that will get fed back into the system. So the next year, that same resource can be associated with 100 level chemistry courses. So librarians could do this, faculty members could do this. It's a way to get that library content right in front of them, of the students that are looking at their courses. So then finally, the Java toolkit, I'm not going to talk too much about, but this is another way that we want to encourage libraries to do other development in the system. We're making XC work with a bunch of different applications that libraries already use, but there are others, and we'd love to have other developers at other sites take this and run with it and make it work with Sakai or Angel or some other CMS or learning management system. So So now I want to just summarize some of the significant opportunities that I think will be available to Exie libraries. This is where I think we're getting into the more hopeful part of getting us out of this mess here. I'm going to talk about each one of these. You know what? I have it on the online slide. There we go. Okay. I'm going to talk about each one of these in more detail. But we really want to empower libraries to make choices and not feel stuck like with their current ILS. They want to, you know, get them out of this sort of feeling like they can't do anything. We want to enable customization and development, integrate library content into various web environments, and then enable sharing of both metadata and software. So I'm going to talk about each one of those, actually. So as far as giving libraries choices, the Exie software will work alongside three different commercial ILSs. So if you have one of those three, you're good to use Exie. It will also work with two open source ILSs, Evergreen and Koa. So if you have one of those systems, you don't want to choose another one, you're good to go. If you move to Evergreen or Koa, you're good to go there as well. Exie will work with other applications such as DSpace, ContentDM, Blackboard, and Drupal Content Management System. Exie will also work alongside network level applications. I know there's one trend that I see people talking about in the library world is moving everything to the network level. You know, we're not going to do all this stuff ourselves. I hear OCLC talking about moving more things to the network level. I don't think that this is necessarily incompatible with that. You know, here we're talking about enabling local customization, but which may seem like the polar opposite of giving everything away and letting someone else do it for you. But there's a lot of potential for making, for example, Exie's user interface could be a seamless jump to WorldCat Local, so that you could make that, or back the other way, so that you could go from WorldCat Local to some kind of locally customized page that you've done just for your users. And we've talked with OCLC about making that sort of seamless leap back and forth. They're two different trends that look incompatible, but I don't think they really are. And Exie will work with MARC and other metadata. Exie will enable customization and development. Again, it will integrate with the open source content management system, Drupal. Empowers libraries. Finally, libraries, if they have a group of users that need something in particular, you can easily develop an interface to your collection for that group of users. So it really focuses the attention on the needs of your local users. And really, this is sort of the bottom line here. It lowers the bar. It seems like, you know, a lot of libraries say, oh, we can't do local development. We don't have that much staff, or it's too hard, or whatever. This makes it easier. There are levels where you can do customization where you don't really have to know much at all about programming. So it's really important. I think Exie can integrate library content into web environments, which again is really, really a focus of the project. We want to bring the metadata to the users instead of making them come to it in our ILSs, because they're not coming to it. So we have the Drupal toolkit that will get the metadata into the library website, and the learning management system toolkit, which will get it into a course management system. And we want to make the metadata as usable as possible in web environments. And here our metadata services toolkit can do that. It aggregates and transforms data. So we really, I think, have a lot of different things to offer with these different software toolkits to enable libraries to do things that they haven't done before. So sharing metadata. Libraries are really good at that. I mean, we share metadata all the time with OCLC. But what we're sharing is MARC metadata. And we're doing it in a particular way. We're going to enable some other possibilities here. For example, we're going to enable sharing MARC XML metadata. That's not so interesting in itself, but we're going to enrich it in the metadata services toolkit, and we'll be able to share that enriched metadata. You'll be able to share any XML schema metadata through the MST. And I also think it's going to be important for us to share what I'm calling born MARC metadata. The metadata, right now it's MARC, but if we're going to move forward, it's going to have to not be MARC anymore. It's going to have to go into some other kind of schema. And we're going to need to share it somehow. So we have an internal schema that we'll be using with the next C called the XC schema, so we'll be able to share it in that. And we're also looking for being able to share it in whatever delivery systems comes with RDA. So whether RDA ends up with its own XML schema or whatever, we've already started working toward that. And finally, we want to be able to share user-generated metadata. So if we have a user contribute a book review at the University of Rochester, maybe Cornell would like to see that. And we, this, the MST provides a mechanism for sharing that metadata back and forth. And we don't have that. So the other thing that I think is really important about this whole sharing metadata and moving forward with metadata is that it takes a lot of, the way we've designed the XC system and the XC architecture is it takes a lot of the risk out of it. Right now, you know, if you're going to migrate your metadata to some other format, it's a big deal because, well, my God, what if you mess it up? You know, then you've lost your data. So what XC does is that you can pull a copy of all your data out of your ILS. You can run it through the MST. You can run a service on it to clean it up, and you do it, and you go, oh, my God, I messed it up. Pull it away, pull another copy out of your ILS, and do it again. So there's a real mechanism to play around, to learn, to try different things, and I think this is what's essential when we talk about moving forward away from ARC into RDA. It's a really scary kind of situation. You know, there's a lot of trepidation, like, oh my God, you know, what if we screw it up? You know, what if we don't, you know, we don't know. We know MARC. We don't know anything beyond that. This allows us an opportunity to play around with it, to learn what works, what, you know, in terms of fervorizing our data, you know, what works, what doesn't work, you know, and we can, I think that's really something that's been missing in the library world, because we have these big systems and, you know, this one works this way and this one works this way, and, you know, it's a huge deal to get from one to the other. So that's what we can offer, is a way around that. So not only can we share metadata more easily, through XC, we can also share software that is related to metadata. So these enrichment services, those pluggable services for the MST, libraries can share those. So if one institution builds one that does something really cool to go from this schema to this schema, another library can use that very easily. So libraries can use an existing service, and then they can modify it to make it work exactly the way they want to. And again, they can develop and share additional services. So this is a whole level of being able to share that we've never been able to do before. So to pull some of these thoughts together, this is sort of the rosy future, I guess, moving forward using XC. Just to reiterate a few things to take home with you. XC offers functionality that supplements an ILS. It doesn't replace it. It offers things that an ILS can't do without the metadata services toolkit. It lowers the bar for customizing our web solutions. It lets libraries that didn't think they could get into the customization business actually start to do that. It provides a path forward for a library metadata so that we're not stuck in the, well, we have MARC now and we have to come up with something really perfect to go after MARC before we move all our MARC data into that new perfect thing. It provides a path where we can experiment, look at different things, look at different options, and we're not going to lock ourselves into something that really isn't going to work for us. It makes all these things affordable and manageable. XC will be available to libraries, or anybody actually, at no charge. So there's no, you know, ongoing, nothing else to buy. There's no service contract, although, I'm sure there will be companies that will offer support contracts for XC, at least we're hoping. So we're working on a couple of them right now. But we want to offer an alternative to these expensive products that libraries feel like they have to buy. And we feel that XC will also facilitate cooperation in this local development and sharing services. Also, the whole structure of the MST could be set up, shared between institutions, so that different institutions are putting their data into the same aggregated database. So there's a lot of opportunities for cooperation there. So we feel that XC could be very exciting contributor to the future of libraries and offer a lot of things that we, you know, as we build it, we think of new things, basically, that libraries might want to use some of it for. So we're very excited about that, and I guess we don't have time for questions right now, but I would be happy to take your questions this afternoon during the
time.
And there's the website.
Okay.